Big Blue Hits Live, fueled by Hess, I'm Anita Marks, and our guest today is Giants tight end Brandon Myers. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
This is your first go-around with Big Blue Hits Live, right?
Yes, this is.
Well, this is a show for the fans, so we open up the phone lines. We're live. They can call in and ask you anything they want to ask you.
All right.
You ready to rock and roll?
Let's do it.
All right, the phone number, 201-939-4513. That's the number to get in on the show. And please, dial it now. We only have Brandon for two segments. So first and foremost, three touchdowns the past 3 weeks in three games. That's got to feel good.
Yeah, definitely. To get back in the end zone to, you know, to help the team put some points, you know, on the board. It's important. When we get down there, we like to score touchdowns. And, you know, that's a focus that we have. And, you know, it's always good to get in the end zone.
You think in utilizing a tight end, they score their touchdowns predominantly in the red zone. But two of the three have come out of the red zone.
Yeah, you know, that's always good too, because when you get it in the green zone, we call it in the fringe area.
Yeah, Tom Coughlin calls it the green zone. I'm sorry, coach.
So, you know, it's always nice to get a little love as the tight end, I guess you can say, further out from the end zone.
So what has been the biggest difference so far the past three games getting you worked into the offensive game plan? What's been the difference?
You know, we're just staying on track a little more, not getting in third and longs where we're kind of predictable. You know, the play calling obviously has helped. You know, as a tight end, maybe not staying in a blocking or chipping. We've gotten down the field a little bit, and you know, we've been in the end zone the last 3 weeks. So.
All right. So you came over from the Giants from the Oakland Raiders. So what has that transition been like for you in regard to the offensive game plan, and what has been the biggest transition for you?
I think the biggest transition has been reading the defenses. This is a very complex offense. Coach Gilbride, Eli, you know, they've been in this, they've been doing it a while, so they kind of know the ins and outs, and to come in from a West Coast system where you didn't really have to read the defense, you just kind of ran your route and it was up to the quarterback. Now you kind of have a little more leeway to read the defense, to react a certain way on a route, and it's all about being on the same page with Eli. And you know, it takes time, and you know, the last few weeks we've been clicking, and you know, we're just trying to build on that every week.
You know, unfortunately, Eli Manning has thrown a number of interceptions this year. But a lot of it, when you do go back, I wouldn't say a lot of it, but a large percentage of it is the fact that he's not on the same page as the wide receiver. Is that because this offense is so intricate?
It is, definitely. You know, he gets a lot of the blame, obviously, as a quarterback.
Right.
What a lot of people don't know is, you know, there's things that we can do to help him out. And not being on the same page, not reading the same defense, you know, obviously, it gets put on him. So that's what we've been trying to do, you know, every day in practice, is build that chemistry and keep it rolling.
All right. Well, the calls are piling up. You ready to answer some questions?
Yes.
From someone else other than me. 201-939-4513. Let's kick it off with Rudolph. Rudolph, you are first up. You're on with Brandon Myers. What's your question?
Hello. My question is to Brandon. What is the difference on how being a tight end for the Giants is compared to being a tight end for the Raiders?
I would say the biggest difference would just be all around. You're asked to do a lot, blocking, pass protection, you know, running the routes. We got a lot of different things that we can do. And, you know, Coach Pope's always talking about how we play every position basically but quarterback on the field. So you got to know the offense in and out. And when your number's called, you got to be able to step up and do what's asked.
All right, so I owned you last year in fantasy football. I know you're not a big fan of fantasy football.
Yeah.
We've had this conversation
yes.
before. But one thing that I've noticed, because I own you this year as well, is that your plays are a lot more in the middle of the field here in New York, where in Oakland I felt like you were scoring on, like, outruns. Or, like, you know, post corner routes. So you being utilized a lot more in the middle of the field, more so.
Yeah, you know, we got guys on the outside that can take over the game, that can change the game. So you know, they get a lot of attention, you know, on the outside, deep down the field. You know, and it's as the tight end's job to work the middle, find the zone, and to catch the ball.
So you do that more here than in Oakland.
Yeah.
201-939-4513. We're going to continue. We're going to bring on Big Ed. Big Ed, welcome to the show. You're on with Brandon Myers. What's your question?
Hey, Anita, how you doing?
Great.
How you doing, Brandon?
Good, thanks.
Great, great. Hey, guys, Brandon, you think you guys enough energy to get it done this Sunday?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Coach Coughlin, he's great. You know, he's been, you know, through the lows, through the highs, you know, every day is the same. You know, come into work, everybody's paying attention in meetings. Coming from another team, I've seen where, you know, once you're out of the playoffs, you know, guys kind of start thinking about maybe their off-season plans. But that's not the case here. You know, everybody is paying attention. Everybody's hungry, you know. To beat a team, to be able to, you know, beat a team like Seattle would mean a lot to us. You know, they're where we want to be right now, obviously. You know, they're trying to get the number one seed. And, you know, I think if you just come out on Sunday and get a win, you know, that kind of propels you to the next 2 weeks and then into the offseason for next year.
Head coach Tom Coughlin addressed the media earlier today, and he said to play a team of this quality, like the Seattle Seahawks, is big motivation for a team like the Giants. So I do want you to kind of respond to that, and we'll continue to take calls. 201-939-4513. Quick break. We're back with Brandon Myers in just a short minute.
The objective of the Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation is to be there for families who have a child with leukemia, cancer, other forms of cancer.
Tom Coughlin, nice to meet you. Are you a Giant fan? Well, you're a pretty girl.
It's a tremendous feeling to just be with these kids, to have a little bit of an idea of what the families and the children are going through, and again, to try to bring a smile to their face and to let them know that, you know what, we do care.
There's so many things pulling at that family when your child is diagnosed with cancer. What we try to do is keep that core, keep them a family.
Just lightening their burden a little bit is huge for them because it's one less thing that they have to worry about. They can focus on their child and their child getting the treatment that they need.
Giants! There you go. Giants.
Welcome back. Big Blue Hits Live, fueled by Hess, Anita Marks, and we have tied in Brandon Myers for one more segment. So not too much time for you to get your calls in and your questions onto the show. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. As I went to break, as I said, head coach Tom Coughlin addressed the media, and that was one of the questions, was how do you get this team pumped up even though there's no shot for you guys to make it to the postseason? And he said, it's Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a quality team. You have to be pumped up to play arguably, if not the best team in the NFL right now. True to that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, for a team of that caliber to come in, you know, that's kind of where, like I said, where we want to be. So it kind of, you know, we've had some things happen throughout the year, and, you know, to be able to come in and play a team like that of that caliber that, you know, is going to the playoffs, like I said, it would just kind of propel us into, you know, the next 2 weeks and then into the offseason.
Did you have a chance to watch any of the games, the highlights from, like, the Philadelphia game,
yes,
the Baltimore game, and the snow and the weather and the horrible weather conditions? Pretty interesting, and it did not bode well for the defenses. So right. Here you have Seattle coming to New York to take on you guys. Weather conditions are supposed to be maybe 30 at kickoff, a chance of snow. So do you look at that as an offense and say that is an advantage for an offense when you're playing in those type of weather conditions? Because defense, they can't get good tracking?
Yeah, well, hopefully it's not as bad as it was in Philly.
That looked fun.
Yeah, we were sitting in San Diego in the sunshine watching
right.
that. But obviously, you know, the weather conditions for a home team can be an advantage for you or a disadvantage. It's all about kind of the mentality of your team, of the guys you got on the roster. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be too bad of weather. You know, maybe just a little cold, but. You know, we'll be ready to play.
All right, so looking ahead to the Seattle Seahawks, they're a good defense. They're extremely good against the pass.
Yes.
So knowing that, ever since Andre Brown has come back, your rushing attack has gotten a lot better. Are you going into this game knowing you have to be you have to run the ball extremely well in order to beat the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's been our goal all year. Like I said, we've had some injuries with up front, you know, with our backs. I think to be successful, the way our offense is set, you know, to be able to be 50-50, to be able to run the ball and pass the ball. Because when you get in long down situations, you got to throw the ball. A lot of teams, you know, in the NFL, you're predictable, and they're going to be able to keep you in front of the first down marker and to stop you. So with Andre coming back, you know, with the O-line kind of coming together, playing a few games together, we've seen our rushing our go up and up, you know, every game. And that just opens up things for everything else down the field in the passing, you know, with the play action and stuff like that. So it's been huge to get him back. And yeah, coming in with Seattle coming in, you know that they're very physical up front. And, you know, you got to be 50-50 or else, you know, they're going to stack up and focus on one thing. And then, you know, that's not good as an offense.
201-939-4513. We're going to continue with our calls. And we have a regular who's going to come on the show. His name is Kaiser. He calls in from Yonkers. Okay. Kaiser, welcome. You're on with the Giants tight end. What's your question?
Hey, Anita. Hey, Brandon. You and Eli seem to be in much better sync now. Is that something that just needs to work itself out sometimes? Like, you two just seem to be in a much better rhythm than you were in the beginning of the year, which, you know, seems sometimes obvious, but is that something that you just kind of feel and get used to? And B, part of my question is, what's with the beard? Are you ready?
I'll answer the second part of that first. The beard was for No Shave November, and I just kind of kept it going, you know. Not a lot of people like it. My family, my fiance, they're not very big fans of it.
No.
But it's all right.
Are you going to shave it once the season's over?
Maybe.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
It helps with the chin strap, doesn't it?
Cushion, yeah. And then for our annual ugly sweater party, you know, maybe I'll dye it white. I can be Santa. Or
do something. You host it, or do you mean that's a team?
It's a team thing.
Really?
Yes. And then, you know, the first part of your question, you know, it just takes time to build a chemistry like we were talking about. You know, some people get it faster than others, and, you know, it's just been every day of practice just kind of to working together, you know, watching film together. And then the most important thing you can do is actually be out there in the games, going through the things, seeing it, and then going to the sidelines, talking about it. And you just kind of build that trust with each other. And, you know, the last few weeks, that's what's been going on. And that's a goal, you know, just build on it every week and every game, and you know, just keep improving.
Last question for you. You talked about the physicality of the Seattle Seahawks, and they arguably have one of the best DB cores with Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
Is that really the key to their defense? Is their secondary and how physical they are at the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, you know, when you got guys that can, you know, they're one high team, one safety in the post, and you know, it's man on man, and then you got the guys up front who, you know, they just try to get after the quarterback, and they let those guys in the back, you know, play man-on-man. So, you know, they're very physical. They're big. They got big guys. You know, they like to talk. They like to get in your face. They can run. They're big. They're fast. So, yeah, for having guys in the back like that to be able to go one-on-one, it kind of opens up things for the other guys up front.
Well, we thank you for your time today. Really, a pleasure having you on.
Thanks for having me.
And we're going to make the switch. So I'm going from tight end to offensive lineman. Roman Oben will join me in studio. We'll continue to take your calls, 201-939-4513. In the meantime, here's 10 things you need to know about the Giants and Seattle Seahawks matchup. We'll be right back.
Here are the top 10 things you need to know about the Giants-Seahawks rivalry. 10. The Giants host the Seahawks on Sunday in search of their 10th win of the series, which dates back to the first meeting in 1976. They're 9-6 against Seattle and have won by a combined score of 374-259. Two teams have never met in the postseason.
Rolls to his right, throws it back in the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Tevin Boss!
9. The Giants amassed 523 total yards of offense in a 2008 victory over Seattle, the ninth most in franchise history, including the postseason. The Giants collected 269 yards through the air and 254 on the ground, adding up to a 44-6 rout of the Seahawks. 8. The number of catches Victor Cruz had in the last meeting with Seattle. In the 2011 contest, he hauled in a 68-yard touchdown en route to 161 receiving yards, both of which are highs in the series history.
Two deep safeties. Manning back to throw. Dances in the pocket now. Heaves one deep down the right side. It's a jump ball deflected. And caught off the deflection. Running down the right sideline for a touchdown is Victor Cruz. And he does the samba in the end zone.
The Cruz Sasa.
68 yards.
That's good ball skills there. That ball got tipped in the air, and he brings it down.
Seven. The Giants have averaged 7 yards per carry in a game, minimum 25 attempts, 7 times under head coach Tom Coughlin, including a 2008 victory over Seattle.
Second and 5, handoff left to Bradshaw, cuts back off tackle, fights off the tackle, runs out of a shoot tackle to the 30, spins right to the 25, cuts right again to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, and then he didn't make the last move left where he's in.
Six. Kicker Joe DiNello made 6 field goals in a 32-0 victory over the Seahawks at the Kingdome in 1981, the most by a Giant in franchise history. 5. Eli Manning has faced Seattle 5 times as the starting quarterback. He's 2-3 against Seattle, 1-1 at home, completing 63% of his passes for 13 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and a passer rating of 98.4. 4. The number of times Eli Manning has thrown at least 50 passes in a regular season game, including a 2005 loss to the Seahawks. Manning's 53 attempts in that game are tied for a career high, which he did in 2007 against Washington. 3. The record for most interceptions by a Giant against Seattle is 3, done in 1976 and again in 2006. In 1976, John Mendenhall, Clyde Powers, and Rick Falk each grabbed 1. 30 years later, Corey Webster, Fred Robbins, and R.W. McQuarters did the same. 2. Seattle has just 2 wins when they travel to East Rutherford to face the Giants in 1983 and 2011. Big Blue is 6-2 at home against the Seahawks historically, but lost its only matchup in MetLife Stadium, 36-25 in 2011, the second season in the Giants' new home. 1. The Giants have 1 shutout against the Seahawks in series history, coming 32-0 in 1981. Big Blue held Seattle to just 127 net yards, 29 yards rushing, and 98 yards passing.
Welcome back. Big Blue Hits Live, fueled by Hess, Anita Marks, and we've made the switch. I've gone from tight end to former offensive lineman for the New York Football Giants. Roman Oben, how are you?
Good. You've gone from beard to no beard, too,
yes.
As well.
You're jealous, aren't you?
No,
you're jealous
not at
of the
all.
Beard. I see it.
I came through the clean cut era. You know, we didn't, guys growing these crazy, you know, was it Dan Dierdorf was the only guy that had, you know, the beard, but now everyone's doing it, so we're good.
I asked him. He said it actually it does help with the chin strap.
Yeah.
Okay. Our Adorama news of the day. Unfortunately, running back Brandon Jacobs was placed on IR. He's having knee surgery either, I think, later on today or tomorrow. To hopefully increase the cartilage growth in his knee. And he's hoping that he'll be back and have a chance here with the Giants at training camp next year. You just don't know.
Well, I think what Brandon Jacobs brought to the table when he came back, he really revitalized the organization, the offense in particular, and especially when he had that big game against Chicago. You look what he did against Dallas, he had 9 carries, 75 yards. But it was always big game followed by 2 weeks off. So you knew something was wrong, and as Tom Coughlin alluded to earlier today, the decisions are made by the medical staff, not by the head coach. I mean, you see what's going on around the league. I mean, the medical staff decided that the best thing for Brandon Jacobs was to go on IR, get the surgery that he needed. Hopefully he can have a chance to, you know, maybe make this roster outright next year going to the training camp.
All right, some injury updates in regard to practice today. Prince Omokamore did not practice. He said he's just not really feeling well, nothing serious, not a big injury there. No Cullen Jenkins, no JPP, no Cooper Taylor. Terrell Thomas, this is his normal Wednesday off.
Yeah.
He gets Wednesdays off. And Corey Webster, Webby, was limited.
Well, I mean, specifically the top two guys, Prince Omokamore, if it's an illness, you hope it's some kind of 24-hour situation, a flu or something like that, or 24-hour fever. Cullen Jenkins, he's played through some injuries, lower extremity injuries earlier this year. I don't know if that came back, but he's a guy that's desperately needed to stop, you know, Marshawn Lynch on Sunday.
Well, you're looking at the number of guys who didn't practice. They're all on the defensive side of the ball, and the defense did not look so great against San Diego last week.
Well, I think you also have to expect that. Ryan Matthews had 24 carries over 100 yards, but I think you have to expect this defense to come back from that and make those adjustments. I don't think it's a downward slope going on the rest of the season. I mean, they typically do well against running backs. I mean, this game in particular from last week, you know, there was no penetration behind the line of scrimmage. You saw San Diego Chargers offensive line playing on the defensive side of the line of scrimmage versus the defense playing in the backfield, which is when they've shut down these backs, that's what they've done well. They did not do that in San Diego.
Yeah, pretty amazing. The Giants typically have been really great against opposing running backs. But Ryan Matthews, and a running back that really hasn't had that much success in the NFL, especially since he has to share that backfield with Woodhead, Danny Woodhead, actually had a pretty solid day against the Giants. We're going to continue with our calls, 201-939-4513. We're bringing in Will from North Carolina. Will, you're on with Roman Oben. What's your question?
Thanks for letting me on, guys. I just had one question for you guys. Do you see the Giants being legitimate title contenders next year?
Well, Will, I think next year is still yet to be determined. You have to play out this season. I think everyone's going to be evaluated based on how they finish the season. You have a lot of contract issues. Who will they keep? Who will they cut? Who will they bring in? I think this team definitely needs some outside help. You know, they need some Sam Madisons, Deion Grants, I think, back on this roster, kind of like how they brought Beeson in. And you look at the standings, obviously the Giants took themselves out of playoff contention this season. So, you know, next season will take care of itself, but you still want to have a good showing these last three games, especially a team coming from Seattle who wants to make a statement, I'm sure, of the league, knowing that the Super Bowl is here.
But in order for the Giants, I think, to get back on the winning track, they need to address the offensive line.
Yeah, they do. And I think when you have two starters Deal and Boss, I'm sorry, Snead and Boss, that were injured, I mean, going into the season, you know, those are two of the better linemen on the team. You know, Beatty had a rookie right tackle. So you had some adjustments that are going to be made. And next year, the old lineman, the offensive line, I think is definitely going to look completely different. You're going to see at least two new starters.
All right, so let's start focusing on the Seattle Seahawks. And again, we're going to continue to take your calls, 201-939-4513. And Tom Coughlin, again, told the media today that this team is really up to play the Seattle Seahawks because they're such a great team, maybe the best team in the NFL. We heard the same thing from Brandon Myers. Have you been in that situation before, Roman, where you know you have no shot to make it to the postseason, but you've got a really one of the best teams in the NFL coming? This could be a statement game for the organization.
Well, two things. I think this Giants organization still has a championship spirit, so to speak. They haven't played well at certain phases of the game. They haven't executed, but they always get up for big games, especially at home. And I think that character, you know, Justin Tuck, Eli Manning, you know, the leaders on Charles Roll, the leaders on this team do step up and have big games when they're relied upon. And, you know, the season's ending. All you can do now is really be spoilers for other teams that are trying to go to the postseason when you're out of the postseason contention.
And you've got a Seattle Seahawks team. They lost this past week to the San Francisco 49ers. If they would have won, they would have clinched home field advantage.
Yeah, I know. That's the big what if
yeah.
They were going to tank it this week, but that's not the case. Seattle's going to try and make a statement on Sunday. The Giants are going to have to answer and combat
that. Makes for a good game. We know that Russell Wilson's going to play all four quarters,
100%,
right?
100%.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. We will break down this matchup, talk a little bit more about Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch, and we'll continue with your calls. 201-939-4513. We'll be right back.
This is an important message for all Giants fans attending the games at MetLife Stadium. In an effort to enhance public safety, a new NFL bag policy will be implemented this season. Guests are welcome to carry in clear bags, 12 inches by 6 by 12, or small purses and handbags that are 4.5 by 6.5 inches or less in size. Any non-clear bag exceeding the size limit, including camera or binocular cases, will not be permitted. The Giants appreciate your assistance and cooperation with the following policies. For more information, go to Giants.com.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
back to Big Blue. I was flying. Welcome back to Big Blue Hits Live. And it's myself and Roman Oben, and of course you. It's our last segment, an opportunity to please call in 201-939-4513. All right, let's break down the Seattle Seahawks. I'm actually excited for this game. I'm a big fan of Russell Wilson. I think the one thing that this young man brings to the table is unbelievable leadership for his age, and he's a smart quarterback. He's heads-up quarterback, and he doesn't turn the ball over.
Well, I think also everyone roots for a guy like Russell Wilson, who's not the traditional 6'4", 220, you know, blue chip country club, you know, quarterback. I mean, he's 5'11", and he just maximizes his ability. I mean, he makes minimum amount of mistakes. He can run the ball. He's got 23 touchdowns, 7 picks. And again, you know, I played with Doug Flutie and Drew Brees and these shorter guys that really sit back there in the pocket and still do the things that 6'5 guys do. I mean, that's why I think everyone roots for him. But, again, he's a very, very tough competitor. He's a smart quarterback. He's got a quick release. And he's looking at that film of what Phil Rivers did to the Chargers defense last week.
And also, I mean, he's doing it with really, you know, don't get me wrong, no disrespect, solid wide receivers, a solid wide receiver core, but he's not playing with a legitimate number one. They went out, they brought in Percy Harvin, but he's having hip issues. Chances are Percy Harvin is not going to be active. We don't know yet, but chances are he's not going to be active on Sunday. He's doing it with Golden Tate and Doug Baldwin and a tight end by the name of Zach Miller. I mean, it's remarkable.
Well, a lot of teams, you know, when you don't have cash, salary cap issues, like some teams you pay a guy and now you're married to that guy because of salary cap. They haven't reached a level of success where they have to give him $20 million. You have to give this guy a big contract. Marshawn Lynch came from Buffalo. Still has a decent contract. You have a big physical offensive line. You know, Percy Harvin had an injury issue that he's not even been relied upon a lot this year. So,
I
think that this team, I mean, look at Marshawn Lynch. Look at his numbers. You know, he's, you know, 7 years in the league. I mean, he's getting up there, you know, close to 30. He's still very, very productive. You know, 4 yards a carry. I mean, big physical line. I mean, they rely on that. They rely on that. And that physical attitude enables Russell Wilson, you know, then play action and run action, all those things that he does well, where you don't need a legitimate number one guy, a fantasy guy, so to speak. But the formula that they have offensively in Seattle works for that team.
All right, let's continue with our calls. We go to Tommy in New York. Tommy, welcome to the show. What's your question for Roman?
Oh, no, I just want to ask.
Okay.
Tommy, can you hear me?
What? We lost Tommy. You have a Seattle Seahawks team that is sixth in the green zone. Of course, we call it the green zone, as Brandon told us, and we know that Tom Coughlin likes to call it. That definitely bodes well for an offense in the NFL.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you lose games. More games are lost by, you know, less than 4 points. I mean, look at some of these teams. You know, go back to San Diego last week. All their games they've lost were, you know, like 5 points or less, 4 points or less. So when you can score in the red zone and convert third downs to first downs instead of field goals, you're scoring in the end zone. I mean, that makes you better in the fourth quarter because you're not leaving points on the table saying, oh, had we gone for touchdown, had we not missed this field goal. So they're very, very effective in the red zone.
And they do not turn the ball over. So very crucial. And again, head coach Tom Coughlin addressed the media today, and he could not stress enough the importance of no turnovers in this matchup against the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, and another thing, you know, the Seahawks are 5-2 on the road. I mean, they lost to Indianapolis. I can't remember the other team they lost to, but they're 5-2 on the road. They've beaten some East Coast teams. So a lot of people are saying, like, it's a 1 o'clock game. The Chargers are Giants are going to do, you know, what the Chargers did to the Giants, going out west, the time difference, all that stuff. I mean, they're coming east. They're going to, you know, biologically or physically play at like 10 o'clock in the morning their time, but they've done that already. So you've got to really jump on this team fast and really, you know, be effective and win that battle at the line of scrimmage. The defensive line has to come back. Offensive line has to protect because they have some defensive linemen, like Myers said before. They have some strong defensive linemen that are coming.
The two losses for the Seattle Seahawks were both on the road, one at Indy and the other one, of course, last week at San Francisco. Before we sign off for the night, and keep in mind, we will be back tomorrow right here on Giants.com at 4 o'clock with, of course, Roman and Paul Dottino. Want to remind you, Toys for Tots this Sunday. So please bring your toys to the stadium at MetLife Stadium, and there'll be bins all over the stadium, and you could drop off your toys. Of course, Christmas is right around the corner. Let's give to those that are in need. So, Roman, thank you so much. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am.
You got it.
Let's
Have a great night, everybody.